Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and the Seahawks have another big game ahead of themselves this Sunday. They're facing off against the Los Angeles Rams. It's at the Coliseum in LA at 1 p.m., and it's a big game for the Seahawks to keep their playoff chances alive, to start themselves on a streak against these really tough contending teams. And so there's a lot to talk about today, but first we'll do some quick intros. I am Grant Goldberg. I do this Locked On Seahawks podcast, and I am a social media and graphic design guy for SB Nation's Lakers site, and Spike is a writer with The Stranger. And you know, before we start the show, I wanted to just say something for the people of Thousand Oaks and the surrounding areas who just suffered in another mass shooting in this country. I hope people are okay, physically and mentally, and I don't know how many times we can go through this again without nothing happening, but I wanted to say for the listeners that know that I live in the area that I'm okay, and luckily people that I know are okay. And so if you reached out last night, I definitely appreciate that. And, hopefully, we can see this happening a lot less and hopefully never again. But we'll get into the show right now. We'll talk about some football like we're supposed to do. We've got a big game, like I was saying. Spike, there are a ton of people on the Seahawks injury report, and we have no idea if anyone's going to play, right?
Yeah, Dougie's on there now. We got Fluker, McDougal, and Carson. Last night, just a random friend who, knows I kind of like the Seahawks, doesn't know. He was like, man, Chris Carson, is he going to play? I got fantasy choices to make. I picked up Mike Davis. Who do I start? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I follow this team closely. I do not know, and I do not think we're going to know with some of these guys until, 12:20. 5 minutes before inactives come out. I really think we're going to be down to game time decisions on a bunch of these dudes. And we've talked all year about how thin this Seahawks team is, how the issue with the team right now is that the top level talent, we still have some of it. That next tier, that middle class, that sort of the guys you sort of wanted to stay away from in free agency in the past, but are once again sort of reasserting themselves in how you construct a roster. Those guys are good for us. We saw that with the Eagles last year, but our DJ Flukers, our Bradley McDougals, those are those upper middle class dudes who you can go out and get. And we've got enough of them to put a good roster together. But then the guys behind are a little scary. Like we saw with Joey Hunt coming in, Delano Hill, even though he played better than we'd seen him play ever before. We just don't have those guys, and we know how dangerous this Rams team is. We know how scary this Rams team is. So coming into this week, it's very tough to preview this game because of the uncertainty just based on the drop-off. If we're talking about the drop-off from Fluker to Joey Hill, or Joey Hunt, rather, McDougal to Delano Hill, Doug Baldwin to, I don't even know, Keenan Reynolds, yikes. Yikes, 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 yikes. But at the same time, if all those dudes are go, the Rams are a step slower than they were when we almost beat them in Seattle earlier this year. This is a very winnable game for the Seahawks that could set them on that upward trajectory back to the playoffs. So I think we're in a very interesting week, and I think it's going to come down to game time before you can make a meaningful prediction about this game. That's how we're going to predict it anyway, because, we're having fun here.
Yeah, a lot needs to shake out in this, kind of three-day period before the game and for us to really accurately pick this game. I know I went on with Barry Motter from Locked On Rams, and we tried to pick this game, but, there's a lot of uncertainty heading into Sunday, and not to mention the fact that Russell Wilson's coming off one of his worst games of the year. Statistically and watching the game, he just looked a little off. So, there's a question that, is he going to, come out a little more poised, a little ready to put this performance behind him, have a short memory, as they say good quarterbacks do. And, I'm really thinking that he's going to look to shoulder the load and kind of, turn the tide for this offense again and really get them back on track, because, we saw what, Russell Wilson, who's focused, who's lasered in, can do with a good amount of time in the pocket. We saw in that Detroit Lions game, and he's just putting the ball wherever he wanted it. And I think that there will be similar opportunities so long as the defense in the offensive line in the interior can hold up for, you know, as long as they can against Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. And then,
yeah, I mean, how crucial is DJ Fluker?
Yeah,
because I mean, we've seen Ethan Posick against Aaron Donald, and while I don't want to write off Ethan Posick yet, although the team is not high on him, he was inactive last week. Boy, howdy, is it a different ball game when you've got a big body like Fluker in there? I mean, look, Donald's going to get his,
right?
But we had time against the Rams last time out.
Yeah,
and huge difference.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that, you know, we've seen the same Seahawks team, you know, it's a completely different game when Aaron Donald's in the backfield on almost every single offensive snap. And then it's incredible what a little bit of continuity and some, you know, just really big, tough, strong guys can do against a front like the Rams. Basically, you know, canceled out the Ndamukong Suh factor first time around. And so, yeah, DJ Fluker's health is a big storyline coming into this game. But I think if Russell Wilson has the time, the receivers are going to get open down the field. It's just provided that, you know, DJ Fluker's in the game, or, you know, whoever's in the game for DJ Fluker can hold up and can give him the time he needs to find his receivers when they do get open downfield.
Yeah, and I'll also say, I think you made a good point that, like, Russ is coming off of a rough game. Like, you break down some of the tape on that. You know, our friend Ben Baldwin over The Athletic and Sam Gold, they both broke down some of the tape on Wilson, and, like, yikes.
Yeah.
Especially that pick six is really ugly. Some of those misses are just, like, that really ugly.
The third down play to Jerome Brown, where he stepped up. Ben actually said, and I completely agree, every time he watched it, he watched Russ step up, and it feels like he's going to hit it, and then it just sails. Jerome Brown can't get a good route to the ball, and it's an incompletion. It's a tough play to watch over and over again.
It's wild, and it's just so un-Russ-like, except, like, we've seen him have these games before, but we have never seen these games stick with him, and we saw him rally at the end of that game. And I think back to, like, what's the worst game Russ had probably in his career is that NFC title game that we ended up winning against the Packers, where every time he targeted Jermaine Kearse, it was the most ghastly interception you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And, look, we don't like to remember the outcome of the next game, but Russ played real well in that Super Bowl until, but like, that's just to say, like, when we've seen Russ be bad in the past, we haven't seen it be like, oh, thus begins the Russ slump. You know what I mean? Like, there's some dudes who are like that, where you're like, uh-oh, we're getting that real run of Bortles action coming up. But Russ ain't Bortles. Russ ain't Trubisky. Like, Russ is going to be fine. And I feel like 75 and sunny outside on grass is like peak Russ weather. Like, it isn't too hot for Russ, isn't too cold for Russ, isn't too inside for Russ, isn't too wet for Russ. You know, we're just getting some peak Russ weather. So I'm feeling confident about Russ right now.
The porridge is just fine. It's not too hot, too cold. It's just fine for Russell Wilson on Sunday. And, you know, this is an environment that he's used to being at. I know that he spends a lot of his time in the offseason in Southern California, outside training. He has his receivers out there with him, as, you know, a lot of other teams' players out there with him. But, you know, it's not an environment that he's not used to. And I think, you know, if I'm going to really look into this and I'm going to really reach, that's something that's going to benefit him. And it should make for, you know, a good storyline to watch throughout the game, whether he can shake that nasty performance off from last week and really lead the Seahawks to a big win against the Rams. And I think that's a good place to take a short break. We'll come right back with more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Guys, do you ever have, like, problems performing? And I'm not talking, like, Russ, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you're inaccurate. I'm talking about performing in the bedroom. I don't know what that would be, but imagine if you did. That'd be terrible. Terrible. But don't worry. You don't have to live that life anymore. We've got solutions, and we've got solutions that are discreet and will come directly to your home. That's right. I'm talking about Blue Chew. It is a gum, and it has the active ingredients of both Viagra and Cialis. You're getting that cocktail. You're getting the best of both worlds. You're getting that hybrid running back who can catch passes out of the backfield. And we're talking about a gum that will help your performance in the bedroom. And how do you get it? You go to BlueChew.com. There are a bunch of different options on the website in terms of how much you want, how often you want it. But you can have it at home and be ready. You can get doctor's prescription over the internet and get things going. And you know what's even better than getting things going for money, Grant?
What's up?
Getting things going for free.
For free.
And if you use the promo code Locked On, you will just pay shipping for your first order. That is $5, and you will get Blue Chew directly to your home, and you will be able to perform like a hybrid running back. You will be able to outperform Todd Gurley in the bedroom. And I don't know how Todd Gurley performs in the bedroom, but I'm saying you will perform better than Todd Gurley performs on the field this weekend against the Seahawks, but you'll be doing it in the bedroom. So go to Blue Chew, use the promo code Locked On, get your first shipment free. Blue Chew, let's go.
And we are back with more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman. And I think it's appropriate to talk about this defensive situation, specifically the secondary, heading into this Rams game. Obviously, it goes without saying that the Rams are one of the most high-powered offenses in the NFL. They just got into a shootout with the New Orleans Saints that they didn't win. And so I know they'll be, you know, looking to come out firing, look to assert themselves with Todd Gurley a little more. I know the Seahawks did a good job of containing Gurley outside of the red zone. And it's going to be tough, especially for the secondary, given Bradley McDougal's status being up in the air. And I know we talk a lot about Bradley, but he is really vital to this defense working. And we also imagine him and Earl Thomas playing this year. And unfortunately, Earl went out with his injury, and Bradley McDougal's dealing with some stuff right now, but with the knee injury, sorry. And we might see Delano Hill and Tedrick Thompson in against the Los Angeles Rams. Spike, I need you not to do the impossible, but tell me why there's potential for this not to be a disaster.
Yeah, so I was watching some Rams film from last week, and boy, howdy, having Cooper Kupp back is big for them. And I didn't really think about that when earlier this week I had some optimism. Cooper Kupp is very good. Robert Woods is very good. Brandon Cooks is very good. So it's three very good receivers. That said, the Seahawks cornerbacks have been holding up pretty well. Shaq Griffin obviously made a pretty big mistake last week on a long throw to Keenan Allen. But you're talking about three pretty good cornerbacks in Coleman, Flowers, and Griffin. And those three dudes have the capacity to rein in the three receivers of the Rams. Will they do it? I don't know. Will they not get tricked by some of the stuff Sean McVay was running to get dudes open was wild. But I'll say that what it was doing was getting linebackers on to guys who they couldn't cover. Now, KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner are not cornerbacks. They're not guys you want streaking down the field alongside Cooper Kupp. But if you have to have a linebacker streaking down the field against Cooper Kupp, or more likely dealing with the lateral movement of someone like Cooper Kupp cutting across the middle of the field, there are worse dudes to have at linebacker than KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner. And so you think about this Rams offense being this like down the field, shoot it out offense, but there's a degree to which a lot of that comes from early confusion and early mismatch creation. Well, the good thing is that mismatches created against our linebackers are not as terrible as mismatches created against other teams' linebackers, which is just to say that if you want hope, as is always true with this defense, you look to Bobby Wagner and you look to KJ Wright and you go, yeah, they can hang. They can keep us in this game. And they can do a good job of shutting down Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley has not been, like, super efficient this year outside of the red zone. He's obviously incredibly dangerous, but he hasn't been breaking those big plays. I think our linebackers are where you look for hope. Grant, is there anything you're seeing, potentially maybe like in the pass rush or anything, that's giving you hope?
Well, yeah, I think of Deion Jordan's status on this team, and he's been hurt a lot. But, when he's out there on the field, we still see that athletic ability. We still see the strength and finesse that he has as a pass rusher. And you think, all right, well, if this guy stays healthy. Well, when the guy stays healthy, he's a factor for, other teams to go against. Pairing him with Frank Clark has allowed Clark to get better matchups, and it's allowed, Jaron Reed to disrupt from the inside. And so I think I'm gonna say something, and it's a little crazy, but Deion Jordan is the key to making this defensive line, as it
Wow.
currently is, work. And I know you'd hope that there's a little more depth behind him, and maybe Rasheem Green will step into that role where he can come spell guys. But as it stands right now, DeAndre Jordan's health is the biggest thing for this defensive line. Just offering some sort of attack opposite Frank Clark, some sort of attack that's not Jaron Reed or Shamar Stephen or whoever's on the interior in that game. He has to be active against the Rams. He has to be in the backfield. I think DeAndre Jordan has to have at least a couple pressures to kind of rattle Jared Goff and not let him be comfortable, not have another MVP like performance, and really help contribute to the Seahawks, help win this game, help make it easier for the secondary, and to not have so much pressure on them to be perfect every snap.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. Goff looks less good under pressure. That's always going to be true, but we saw it especially against the Packers. I feel like if his first read wasn't there against the Packers, Kenny Clark was getting there. Clay Matthews was getting there, and they looked vulnerable in those moments. That offense looked good but not great against the Packers. Whereas against the and I mean the Saints pass rush looked pretty good too. I mean they got some guys up front. So I think, yeah, I think you're right. I think if Goff is too comfortable, this is going to be a really, really long afternoon. If Goff is harried, our cornerbacks, again, we've got enough guys to hold up enough of the time that we've got a chance to keep them off the board to like the numbers in the 40s, those sort of numbers that our offense cannot hang with. We can give our offense a chance. And, hopefully the other thing our offense can do is limit the number of possessions the Rams have. That's where a Chris Carson injury could be so huge. But we will see. We will see this Sunday.
Yes, we'll see. And regarding this game on Sunday, we will pick this game after we take a short break. So stay tuned for more Locked On Seahawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And we are back with the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. You are still with Grant Goldberg and Spike Friedman, and we are going to pick this game the best that we can, obviously, given the injury status, everything's so up in the air for the Seahawks right now. We don't know who's going to play on Sunday, and there's some important players that we have to find out more. There's Chris Carson, DJ Fluker, and Bradley McDougald, and a laundry list of other players with other injuries. But we'll try to pick this game, and I said with Bear Motter on Locked On Rams that this has the potential to either go two ways. It could be a big win for the Rams, or it could be a really close game again. And there's potential for the Seahawks to pull one over on the Rams and win this game, but a lot is going to have to break right, and it's going to have to break right from even before kickoff when they list the inactives. And I think that the Seahawks have the capability of winning. I don't think that it's the likeliest scenario, and that's why I will pick the Rams to win. And I picked them, I think, 28-27 in a really, really close
Wow.
game. But who knows? And I hope it shakes out differently for the Seahawks. I know I'm holding out hope that it does, but trying to pick it, unbiased and looking at every factor in the game, I think the Rams will be able to pull one out, although it will be a higher scoring game than in years past in Los Angeles or St. Louis, and it's going to be really close.
34-27 Rams. I wanted to pick this the other way at the beginning of the week. The injuries and the way in which the Rams' full-flight offense looks right now. I mean, I think the spread is 10. You know, I don't think it's safe to bet the Seahawks, you know, or anything like that, but I would take that number of points. Our defense is still top five at DVOA. Our offense is league average, and we know that it's league average but high variance, and that we were able to exploit the Rams the last time we played them. So there is hope. The special teams is getting better, but you can't, like, Michael Dixon can't beat the Rams because they just pick up plays in chunks. And so pinning them on the one is no different than putting them on the 40 because, like, either they're going to hit their chunk plays or they aren't. And so it's sort of just like, 34-27 Rams. I mean, I think we cover. I think it could be better than that. It could be worse than that. I think that's the average outcome.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a fair prediction. I think, you know, the Rams are just a really, really good team, and the Seahawks are a good team in their own right, but
they're just a regular good team. They're not a really, really good team.
They're not the top shelf team that they were, and you know, they even had a hard time beating the Rams in their home stadium when they were that top-tier team. So, you know, this is going to be a fun game. We both think it's going to be close. It's going to be worth watching. If you're in the Seattle or Los Angeles area, I'm sure it's going to be the game that they show on Fox.
So it is. I've already checked.
Spike has already checked. He's way ahead of me right now. He's on the hot streak now. And we'll see if it can continue with his prediction on Sunday, but, you know, hopefully, you know, neither of us will be on the hot streak with our predictions. So
yeah, hopefully we get on an ice-cold streak, and then Michael Dixon wins the game three rushing touchdowns,
and four dropkick field goals. Yeah, I think that's fair to ask for, but, you know, I think that's going to be it for the show today. We want to thank you guys for listening all through the show. We want to thank you guys for leaving any reviews that you can. You know, remember, it's not just 5-star reviews anymore. It's either 2, 4, or 5. So you got options. But when you go to leave that review, leave a question in the review, and we'll answer it on the show. If you leave a regular review, we'll always shout you out. Unless it's a bad review, then we'll make fun of you. But yeah, reach out to us on Twitter at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman. The show's Twitter is at Lock Seahawks. Spike, am I forgetting anything?
Thank you to Blue Chew.
Yeah.
Thank you to Blue Chew.
Enough said. So, for the Locked On Seahawks
podcast. BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On.
Sorry, it wasn't enough said. Now it's enough said. So, for the Locked On Seahawks podcast.
BlueChew.com.
I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman also.
For Blue Chew.